Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, you're just getting in your car. Let's get to know the rookies. Let's get to know your new Houston Texans. We had no first-round picks, but 2 second-round picks. So let's start with the 42nd pick in the draft.
H-Town, where we at, baby? Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and get straight to it. With the 42nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Kamari Lassiter, defensive back, Georgia.
There you go. That's Christian Harris announcing the pick right there. Here was Nick Caserio on Friday night giving his assessment on Kamari Lassiter.
Lassiter is position flex. He's played in the perimeter of the formation. He's played inside the formation. I'd say he plays with a linebacker type mentality. I mean, he's a corner, but he tackles. He's tough. He's physical. I'm sure there'll be a question about his speed and how fast he ran, but he's not slow. So, like, the speed really wasn't a concern of ours. So, the time's the time. But, like, we're drafting football players. You know, we're not drafting track teams. So, I know speed's important. I'm not saying speed's not important. But we don't feel that that's an issue for this particular player. And when you watch him play in the SEC, you don't walk away and have that concern.
Yeah, someone texted Seth a little earlier when we were talking about Kamari Lassiter and his, you know, 4.6 40 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Someone's like, didn't Kyle Hamilton fall to 14 because of his bad 40 time? He was an all pro. You know, like, it's, yeah, there's football speed and there's track speed.
That's a whole nother, that's a podcast episode. Kyle Hamilton, like, ran the worst 40 ever. Like, he was, like, zigzagging down the course. It was weird.
Right. Yeah.
But he knows how to run to the football in football. I think that Lassiter, especially this last year, he really showed a lot more ability to recognize, ability to, like, pattern match when you realize what route the receiver's running, you intercept the route, all that kind of stuff when you're off the ball that D'Amico really, really likes. I think that's probably what appealed to them. I feel like it's a difference between him and Bullock. Bullock's got great ball skills. Lassiter, not so much. So, yeah, you hope that Lassiter... One of my YouTube followers said, like, it's okay that he has bad hands because because nobody tends to catch the ball anyway. So it's contagious. The bad hands are contagious. He was third in FBS in terms of catches allowed per target. He was very, very good last year.
He allowed 136 yards passing all year. That's like, it was crazy.
Calls himself the locksmith.
Yeah. What do we think
I'm
about
not sure
that?
If I'm crazy about that nickname. He had that huge lock on his chest,
and
which was cool, but I don't know, somebody pointed out that a locksmith is supposed to unlock things.
That's
right?
My whole thing with it.
Like, as opposed to locking things down,
right?
Well, no, I mean, a locksmith has to be good at, you know, he's got to sell you the right locks too. He's got a, you know, it's not like they only deal with unlocking.
I'm undecided on the nickname yet. I got to wait. I got to meet him first and see if I like him, then I like the nickname. If he rubs me the wrong way, I'll be like,
that's true.
You know, you have a
if
stupid
good,
nickname.
It's gonna
also.
Be an awesome, if he's good, it'll be an awesome nickname. If he's bad, it'll be a
100%. And it's a ready-made endorsement too for whatever lock company around here. Here's Kamari.
Oh, Landry just got. Yeah. No, Landry can do a podcast with him.
Oh, Locker. Oh, yeah. All right. Kamari Lassiter, on becoming a Houston Texan.
Man, I've been saying for a long time, I was like, man, I really want to go to Houston. And I was just, you know, saying it, you know, very slightly, not knowing that, you know, it was going to come true. And I got the call earlier, and it was just surreal. You know, you dream about having that call your whole life. And my phone disconnected. I had bad service, so I hung up right in the middle of the phase. But man, whenever I got a call back and it was official, man, it was just a wave of emotion. See my mom, my grandma, my pops, all my family here, and just seeing everybody just be so happy is something that, you know, I'll never forget.
I think there are two things about that. One is that I think a lot of the draft picks seem genuinely excited to play with DeMeco.
Yes.
You know, Marcus Harris, the seventh-round defensive tackle, I watched the phone call with him and DeMeco. It was from an Alabama TV station.
Yeah.
And it was like, he just looked like he genuinely, like DeMeco had just adopted him.
I saw the same footage. I'm like, this kid's reacting like he just got drafted 15th overall.
He looked like
one of those kids that just went in the first round.
With Lassiter, you know, he talked about Derek Stingley and watching him, and I think it's exciting if you're a cornerback with the prospect of playing against opposite of somebody like that. I would point out to him that, yeah, it might mean that you get more safety help, but it also does mean that you're the target of choice. If Stingley's got things on lockdown as a veteran player, then you're going to get opportunities to make plays on
yes,
the ball.
Yes,
you'll have
the
opportunities
ball.
To. If you better do good, and maybe you'll have more opportunities to catch some football.
Do you think he's the starter in week one? Total guess right now, obviously, but just
it's
you know.
A 100% guess because Okudah and Henderson. I would say probably not.
Yeah.
Just based on nothing other than he's a second round pick.
Yep.
And there's a competition there.
Yep.
So I think he'll play week one. I think he'll be in the rotation.
That makes sense. Here is Kamari Lassiter. John Lopez, if you're listening, you may have a new fishing partner here.
And if we're not chopping it up with the guys, I like to go fishing.
Nice. All right. So pond fishing or deep sea?
Pond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any interest maybe deep sea eventually? What if you
maybe.
Get drafted by Miami or
Houston?
We could try it maybe.
Pull up some barracuda.
Mm. How big are those? Okay.
Yeah. Shark fishing.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Dude, the eyes when he said shark fishing was funny. He got super serious. He was like, no.
And like barracuda is something you want to catch or something. You know what I mean? Like, well, how big are those?
I was curious about that. I was the guy interviewing him, I think, was he was just doing his best to
keep it light.
Yeah.
So there you go. John Lopez.
Plus, he had the wrong size. He didn't do the right size on the barracuda.
Oh,
either.
He didn't?
No.
So Lopez, if you're listening, Kamari Lassiter. I feel like Lopez looks for like is like campaigning for the NFL draft guide to have like a checkbox as to whether or not guys like fishing, you know. So he knows going in like the Texans drafted 9 guys and 5 of them are fishermen.
I would say when I find out that somebody's an avid fisherman, it does make me more inclined to like them. I'm kind of like part of it's jealousy because I've never been good at sitting still and fishing.
Same.
So I'm always like, I wish I could be like these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fishermen and porn stars. That's where I'm like,
yep.
I guess it wasn't meant to be.
Boy. But. And when you find a porn star who is a fisherman, Seth really, really likes those guys.
it gets kind of weird, actually.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Peter North told us about a deep sea excursion he went on one time, and Seth couldn't control. Seth had to leave the room. All right. Blake Fisher was the Texans' other second-round pick. Here's what that sounded like.
With the 59th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Blake Fisher, tackle, Notre Dame.
Do you think Christian Harris hated the fact that when he went up there to announce, he had to announce a Georgia guy and a Notre Dame guy?
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, he's an Alabama guy. Like, I got to introduce these two. I know they're my teammates now and everything, but blah.
He looked skinny, didn't he?
Christian Harris,
yeah.
I couldn't tell. I was at the party, and I was kind of glancing up at the screen. I couldn't really tell.
He's an incredibly lean dude.
Yes.
But he had relatively easy names to pronounce, too. Not like some of those poor saps that had to. Who was it? Oh, Warren Moon had to announce Devondre Sweat. And he actually didn't butcher it or anything, but there are some names. Real quick side note, Sean.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell should not be as bad at reading things as he is.
I think his back issue was affecting him at this. I saw the same thing you
up.
did. Yeah, no, I'm not. I guess I am kind of making an excuse for him, but yeah, why am I doing that for Roger Goodell? Yeah, you're right.
I don't
get
know. Has he ever been good at reading him? I feel like he always struggles a little bit. Like, prepare a little bit. Can you look it over before you go out there?
It was way more. If it's been a problem, it was more noticeable this year to me. You're right. Here was Nick Caserio on Notre Dame tackle and now Houston Texan Blake Fisher.
6'5 and a half, 315 pounds, long arms, plays strong, plays physical, played against good competition, well coached. I'm the offensive line coach, former offensive line coach at the University of Wisconsin. So play with JP. So, I mean, I think our program will benefit him, but you can't have enough tackles in your building. Right now we have, really four, including Charlie and David Sharp, who we signed. You know, Blake is another tackle, but we're going to carry probably four tackles. So you're going to need three, and you all have seen his play. At some point, they're going to have to play.
Yeah, I think when he says we're going to carry four, you're going to need three. He's talking about on game day. They're going to need three tackles.
Well, and just at some point, he's almost conceding that at some point somebody's probably going to get injured too.
Yeah.
So you definitely, that guy's going to play. So it is a big year for Charlie Heck, obviously, now. And I think the other, with Fisher, I think it's a perfect guy that gets taken in the second round for a reason. If he had the height and the weight and the athleticism that he does, and he just absolutely dominated the competition, he would have easily been a first rounder. I think there's parts of him where he plays like a tall guy. Sometimes guys will get up underneath his pads a little bit, but then there's also other times where he does a really impressive job, especially in the run game, of getting underneath guys and rooting them out. He gets up to the second level really well for a big guy. So there's something to work with there. And sometimes it's just a matter of physical maturity with some of the taller guys. It takes them a little longer to get that man strength. Charlie Heck has really been like that. So I'm optimistic about him and intrigued, because I think he'll fit the zone running scheme very well. And I think with his length and his athleticism, a lot of the other stuff is just a matter of getting reps and doing it amongst better competition.
Here was Blake Fisher on the Zoom call with the media saying he wasn't sure the Texans liked him.
They kind of hit it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you can kind of tell, when you kind of sense like, okay, like this team could be in the play. But I really didn't get any signs from them. You know, I had a quick Zoom with them, you know, a couple weeks ago, and you know, that was it. And then four about the combine, I haven't heard anything else really. So, you know, to you know, kind of know that there was a team, you know, interested, you know, in me, kind of, you know, under the rug, you know, if you will. Is a blessing, you know, a blessing for sure. Let me know that somebody believes in me and believes that, you know, I can be, you know, a big contribution to, you know, to the group.
So do you think his most likely scenario where he sees time this year, Seth, is probably injury to somebody else, you would think?
I think so. I don't think he's going to come in and immediately compete for a starting job. It'll be a pleasant surprise if he does. Yeah. But, yeah, I think his competition for playing time right now is with Charlie Heck, I think.
Okay. That makes sense.
Off and, like, George Fant last year played well enough that he went off and got a pretty nice contract.
He did.
I do, like, I honestly, again, if I just love, I hope Dave Tepper has picked up on the fact that for a couple years in a row now, the Texans draft picks don't even know the Texans like them. Whereas in Carolina, Dave Canales, the head coach, had to give Xavier Leggett a hard time about basically telling the entire world that they were going to draft Xavier Leggett.
Yep.
Like, it does. It honestly is some kind of Mickey Mouse crap. Like, when you're drafting at the end of the first round and you're telling guys that you're going to draft them, it's stupid.
It's dumb.
It's really stupid.
Yeah.
Because for one, you should just be in the habit of not showing your hand to anybody. For one. Two, like, if some player that you really love falls for whatever reason or what have you, like, then you've lied to a young kid.
Yeah.
It's Mickey Mouse crap. That organization, they got to get their crap together.
Dude, it was funny. I was listening to Carolina radio this morning before our show. I was jumping around to some of the cities in the draft that are noteworthy.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the draft on WFNZ, and they liked their draft class, but they're like, well, people need to understand, this is going to be a couple-year process here to rebuild this roster. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
You just draft the right quarterback.
Yeah, man.
I mean, if you don't have a hedge fund owner who's just obsessed with analytics and S2 cognition scores, maybe you would have drafted the right guy.
That's right. Let's get to the third round. Kalen Bullock, safety USC. Here's what it sounded like.
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 78th pick to the Houston Texans. With the 78th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Kalen Bullock, defensive back, USC.
That was Dawn Aponte, who's like one of the bigwigs in the NFL. She reads like an elementary school teacher. Like,
well, I prefer that to Goodell.
Yeah.
Maybe she could have elementary schooled Goodell up a little bit in the back room.
Yeah.
I did feel a little jilted. I felt a little screwed over that this person that I didn't know was announcing the pick.
Yeah.
Had no affiliation or ties to the Texans at all.
Well, don't worry, because in about 3 minutes we're going to do Acknowledge Me, and the best pick announcement of the entire weekend will get acknowledged in the next several minutes here, and that would be the fourth round pick for the Texans. We'll get to that in a minute. Here was Nick Caserio, Texans GM, on Kalen Bullock, the safety out of USC.
He's rangy. He covers ground. He plays the ball well. He has good movement skills for his safety. He started his career as a corner. I'm not saying he's a corner, but he moves well for his size. He's 6'2", 190 pounds. Honestly, some of his best football is probably in front of him. He needs to get stronger. I mean, he'll be the first to tell you that. So I think there's some developmental opportunities with him relative to his frame. We're talking about a guy at 6'2", 190 pounds, ran 4.5, that moves well for his size, plays the ball, is instinctive, is an eraser in a deep part of the field, has to improve as a tackler, which goes back to improving his playing strength. So hopefully our program will be beneficial to him in that respect.
Okay, so that was Caserio on Kalen Bullock.
I don't like the discrediting of the 40 time for one prospect and then citing the 40 time for another
one. I love it.
Because we're going to get to Jamal Hill, the linebacker, in a little bit possibly, too. Yeah. It's like, yeah, all right. Like, is he fast? Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah.
He's fast. His ball hawking ability, his ability to track the ball, and just how he's long and lanky, and it shows up because he gets turnovers. He's very, very willing to hit. He's so skinny. So he's got it. Like, there's times where I think he sometimes is trying to compensate for the fact that he's not all that strong. You know, Nick talked about how he's got to gain some strength. So he comes in with poor tackling technique or with poor leverage at times. So they'll have to coach him up on that. But there's a lot to like about him. It seemed like D'Amico and Nick really liked the guy as a person too. You know, we had him on right after he got picked on the draft show. And he was just all charisma and confidence, man.
Yeah.
After he got off, I was like, yeah, we got to work on this kid's confidence. It's a joke because he was basically talking about he was going to come in and take over the world.
Well, here he is right now describing his style of play.
I'm a very diverse DB. You're going to see me playing everywhere. I'm going to come and give my all to this organization no matter what. I'm going to leave everything out there on the field. I'm going to always come out here every single day. I'm going to get the best person on and off the field always.
You know, and he grew up like 15 minutes from USC.
Mm-hmm.
His dad died when he was 10, which is relevant because I think, for one, Caserio talked about his backstory and how it's just amazing that he even is where he is. But also, he knows CJ Stroud, you know, and CJ Stroud has given him some advice as Southern California kids, and I think they're going to have that common bond of having had to deal with like disruptions in their household to an extreme degree when they were young men.
That's great. That is good having CJ there for him. And I would say, what else is good for Kalen Bullock? If we're just looking at trends, the last three third round picks by Nick Caserio: Nico Collins, Christian Harris, Tank Dell. Pretty good. This is the opposite of the run of third rounders, as you've pointed out, Seth, last week. The third round was where Texans draft picks went to die for about a decade. Mm-hmm. And now, Nick is crushing it in the third round since he
got
here.
And the thing that got flipped on its head was, it used to be there were a lot of Texans third round picks who seemed like, wow, they've got the physical ability of a first rounder, but maybe they just don't like football that much. Like, their flaw was that they didn't like football.
Yep.
Now, I think it's like the strength is that the guy is passionate about football, and maybe the other flaws are something different. But I love to have a room full of guys that actually love football.
Yes. You know they're going to work their maximum to get the most out of whatever they are, and if not, at least they left it all out there. Yeah. All right, let's do some acknowledging, shall we? So those are the top three guys on the Texans. Kate Stover was the fourth pick for the Texans. He got picked in the fourth round. They traded up to get him, the tight end out of Ohio State. We acknowledge each and every Monday big performances, big deals, big stuff from the last few days. So let's start with Kate Stover and acknowledge him.
Acknowledge me.
Really, really, I think, popular pick by Nick Caserio. A lot of the experts really like that pick in the fourth round. Nick Caserio himself, I think, really likes this player. We'll play that audio a little later in the show. But Kate Stover was on the draft show after he was picked. He came on with me and Cecil Shorts and John Harris. And John Harris asked him at the very end if he's a barbecue guy. And Kate Stover, he's one for one on getting dumped on interviews as a Texan.
I got one for you. Okay, you come to Houston. I don't know what you really know about Houston, but you can come to Houston and eat. Are you a barbecue guy? Is that something that you mean? Are you what's your big food calling?
I'm a massive barbecue guy. I actually have I built a smoker at my house here. I actually built it out of about so. It's kind of shitty, but it works.
Oh, okay. Kate Stover is one for one in getting dumped in interviews. that is great.
Are we sure that Cal
McNair? Kate, we're not on a podcast here. This is a radio, all right? That's all right.
Sorry, guys.
It's all good. I feel like he fits perfectly with the Texans culture.
Yeah, the three people on the air right now have all been dumped at some point.
Don't worry. Welcome to the club. Are we sure
Cal McNair didn't make this pick? The fact that you built a smoker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cal. This is the one time I ran out in Cal and out in the wild was at Academy when he was going to buy some supplies for his smoker. I was just, you know, like,
the big barbecue guy.
I feel like that was a pretty, that was back before everything kind of turned for the perception of the ownership of the Texans. And it was kind of, it was like, I can brag about it now. At the time, I feel like I would tell a story and nobody cared about it. But I was like, it's pretty damn cool that you can just run into an NFL owner looking for smoker supplies at Academy.
Trying to buy pellets.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't have one of his minions run out to get it or anything.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Regular dude.
I blame YouTube for the smoker. He was just probably on the wrong video or something.
For Cade's crappy smoker that he built?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. He built his own smoker. It's pretty good. He's a farm guy, though, so, you know, he's used to having to, you know, fend for himself to some degree, right? I mean, you farm guys are a little more handy than softies like me.
In theory, yeah. In theory, but like as you can hear, it's not always the case.
Doesn't always turn out, yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Maybe the best part about Cade Stover... Well, let me back up. The best part about Cade Stover getting picked is getting Cade Stover. But I would say of all the pick announcements that took place with Texans draft picks, and maybe overall, the one that got the most attention was our guy Sketch. World-famous streamer from the Houston area whose uniform is basically a C.J. Stroud jersey.
Our guy, Sketch.
Yes. He's our guy.
Acknowledge me!
That's right. We acknowledge Sketch. Thank you, Ben. We're acknowledging him for this. And I'm gonna grade his announcement of the pick of Cade Stover when this is done. But he's getting acknowledged, so I think you know where this is going.
Make some noise! Come on!
It's sketch, people. Love this guy.
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 123rd pick to the Houston Texans. With the 123rd pick of the NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Cade Stover, tight end, Ohio State.
Oh. A plus. A plus, and here's why. I'm not just saying it because it's sketch. A plus, he got up there. He got the crowd riled up, which is good. Yeah. He didn't get up there and tell stories. He didn't get up there and try to be funny. He
didn't
got
to give a motivational speech.
No. He got up there. He got the crowd riled up. He read the pick, nailed the name. Now, Cade Stover, you know, I don't know how else you'd pronounce it, but A plus sketch, because there were so many people that got up there, guest pickers, Seth.
Yeah.
And it's, you're sitting and you're waiting and you're like, okay, stop talking. Just make the pick.
Well, the worst ever was.
I didn't want to bring it up. That's your guy. That's your guy.
For the Vikings.
Sketch is my guy. Ed Marinaro is your guy.
The thing about Ed Marinaro is he's awesome to have a beer with.
Right.
But he treated that like he was having a beer with the audience.
With 8 million people.
Sketch, this is where I was impressed with Sketch, was because I still barely know who he is, other than just like the vast majority of the audience there doesn't know who he is either. He's internet famous, but that means that the masses don't really know who he is. You could see why he's internet famous, though, when he got up there. Like, oh, this kid's got a charisma about him. And there's the key. He said, it's football.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. He appealed to everybody there. It wasn't like he was trying to, like, he was just saying, like, let's go. His energy. He was genuinely excited just to be at the draft. It was really cool.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. A plus. Good job, Sketch. All right. This is where I'll mix in a little NBA playoff. I got a couple playoff acknowledgments from sitting on my chair for 8 hours yesterday and watching basketball. Jalen Brunson scored 47 of the Knicks' 97 points in their win over the Sixers yesterday. Jalen Brunson was unstoppable yesterday. I feel like if Jalen Brunson was kind of hanging around on another team like 10 years ago, that would have been the guy Daryl Morey would have gone and gotten. Jalen Brunson, he's just so damn efficient. He's so good, and he's got a few moves. Those little floaters in the lane are just completely unstoppable. He was a Dallas Maverick. Dallas people have to be killing themselves over that.
I'm jealous of a floater game. That was always, remember Harden forever? It would be like, well, oh, we're in the playoffs now. There's actual rim protection. I'm going to bust out the floater.
Well, speaking of Harden.
Now the floaters.
Acknowledge James Harden.
To throw one of my floaters at him.
I'm going to acknowledge James Harden. 33 points yesterday against the Dallas Mavericks in a win to even that series on 17 field goal attempts. He was super efficient. 15 points in the fourth quarter. It was just playoff James yesterday, Seth, is what that was.
I know. I didn't watch the game. I looked at – that's all I needed to see that really angered me was the 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, man. He took
over. Did he hurl any passes off into the stands?
No, he only had two turnovers in the game also.
Whoa, that's the one. Yeah, I don't care about the points. How many turnovers in the fourth
turnovers,
quarter?
Two turnovers. That's it.
Some of those – oh, God, now I'm having flashbacks. It wasn't just the turnovers. It was the lazy turnovers.
How dumb they were.
Yeah,
no, they should have counted like for four turnovers.
Like, oops, I couldn't dribble all of a sudden.
Right. Really had to have a behind-the-back pass right there with 5 minutes to go in the game. No, but James was good yesterday, man. And I'll tell you what, like I James Harden was one of several Houston athletes to get up and out of here during a period of time where I thought to myself, I am always going to root against this person. I hate them. I don't have severe hatred for James Harden. What I found I have severe hatred for? The Dallas Mavericks. Not a very likable basketball team. I'm not a big Luka guy. I'm not a Kyrie guy at all. Yeah. So I found myself actually rooting for James and Russ and the whole gang yesterday.
The Mavericks are bad for America.
Yeah. Okay. And They really are. Mark Cuban.
They're one of the greatest problems we face today.
Yep. So they lost. Even to two in that series. Okay. The New Orleans Pelicans are really bad at basketball, at least in the playoffs there. They did make the playoffs, so I should point that out. But Charles Barkley was going off about the Pelicans, and getting destroyed by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the saying is always, you know, 1-2-3 Cancun when a team's getting knocked out because then they're, you know, they're off to vacation.
They're off to a banana boat somewhere.
Yeah, they're off
to
a banana boat. Exactly. So on Inside the NBA on TNT, the NBA studio show, Shaq and Chuck were doing their thing on there, and here's what it sounded like after Pelicans lost to the OKC Thunder.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. They not even going. We not even gonna send them to Cancun. We gonna send them to Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they in the beach? Y'all okay? Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So did I take another little
come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water.
I mean it is technically dirty. It's you know, there's a lot of silt in that water there.
Shaq
as well as
Shaq's Shaq's reaction, that might have been the funniest thing that Shaq thinks he's ever heard in his life. Like Shaq was
you love that.
Shaq
he's a Houstonian of sorts.
He's
got roots here.
He does. Yeah. He does. He's got a house in Pearland, owns a couple 24-hour fitnesses, or at least he did. Here, I don't know if he still does.
I probably do. I know, he seems like a buy and hold. He doesn't buy and hold stock. He actually buys and holds businesses themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So I believe he
and
probably does.
And then gets a little extra money by speaking for them, or at least a little extra efficiency and bang for his buck. Doesn't have to pay spokespeople. He just goes and speaks for them himself.
Charles apologized, but then took a shot at San Antonio.
Yeah, it was good. I saw that last night. That was after I have certain times of night where I just shut down, like, okay, I'm just tired of pulling up audio for the day. Funny.
I like that he pronounces it Galveston.
Galveston.
It sounds like a rich person.
Yeah.
You know, to go hang out at Galveston.
Galveston.
House.
Yeah, yeah. So, Charles Barkley, you get acknowledged. Hey, I'm going to acknowledge a texter. I don't even know this person's name, but they texted earlier in the show. I'm gonna acknowledge 3162 on the text page.
Acknowledge me. It
says, good morning, guys. Don't know if y'all remember, but a month or two back, I asked for some advice for a job interview I was going on, and y'all gave me great advice. Just wanted to let you know that I got the job, and I appreciate y'all. It's the little things. Y'all are freaking awesome.
If I remember correctly, the advice I gave him was to be sure he kept the focus on what he could do for them.
Yep.
Like how he could help them.
Yep.
Not what, you know, he needed from them or anything.
That was your advice. My advice is always to go in with more questions for them than they have for you. Good questions. Do you match on the 401k?
Right.
What's your health care like?
Why do they call them butterflies anyway? Like, just don't go in there with like your Google questions.
Right.
That's what Google is for.
That's right. So so good job.
I Googled that this morning, by the way.
3162.
It's frustratingly unclear why they're called butterflies.
Really?
There's like five different theories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you vet which one's best.
We're going to do it in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah. I'm going to acknowledge Seth Payne.
Acknowledge
and
me.
And Sean Pendergast as well. I think we should get a little credit for that guy getting that job right there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. I'll acknowledge myself.
Okay. Give it to
acknowledge me.
Acknowledge Seth.
Yeah.
Okay, my theory about the defensive tackles being kind of an amorphous blob of similar dudes. I think the fact that four defensive tackles at the top of the second round went in five straight picks, four out of five picks were defensive tackles. And Johnny Newton, who a lot of people thought was going to be in the second half of the first round, wasn't even the first one taken in the second round. It went Ruka Rororo, Johnny Newton, Tavondre Sweat, and then Braden Fisk.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty much how it was for defensive tackles. I think teams evaluated them all differently, and there were a bunch that were going to go in the second round.
What was your reaction to Sweat going 39th overall right there?
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. Now, they run a 3-4 there, so he's going to play nose tackle. That makes a lot
for those
of
who
sense.
Don't know, he's a Titan. He got drafted
he's
by
He's a Titan, right. That makes a lot of sense for him to play nose tackle there. And I really, like, I love Sweat's potential. He's just, and it. He's got a concerning stretch of issues with personal discipline. Like, and he acknowledged that he partied too much back when he was younger, so he didn't party at all this year during the season, but then he got a DUI afterwards, and then at the combine, just flat out said, nope, I weigh 365, and that's where I'm staying, where it's clear and obvious that, like, if he would just lose 20 pounds, he could be all pro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that big of a difference. There's a huge difference between 365 and 345.
Okay.
So, I like, to take him in the second round, I feel like that's a bit of a gamble, but I wish he didn't go to the Titans because I want to personally root for him. I love the way the guy plays football until he tuckers out because he's just too damn big.
No, now I'm hoping he's at the buffet three times a day, you know, as a Tennessee Titan. I hope he blows up to 450 pounds.
Remember, those are the – I mean, he's in a state now where there are state legislators angrily defending first cousin marriage.
Right.
That's not a – that's – we played the audio last week, everybody. I don't think that they can – he can be trusted to eat well in a state that backwards.
That was some of my favorite audio because literally it was a news report about this legislation you're talking about. And literally the first three words were first cousin marriage, you know, like in the news. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is going to be the greatest news report ever.
It's like first cousin marriage might be on its way to being banned in Tennessee, but not without a fight.
Right? That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. I felt so bad for the reporters who were clearly like from, you know, like Northern Virginia or something like that.
It's like the Hatfields are fighting the McCoys because the McCoys don't want to let the Hatfields marry the Hatfields.
Right, right. You got this kid from New Canaan, Connecticut doing news in Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, like, when am I going to get out of here? They told me how many podunk markets do I have to go to before I'm not reporting on first cousin marriage legislation?
In the defense thereof,
Right. That's a bunch of hillbillies dying on an actual hill for first cousin marriage. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 6.
My favorite part about that story was that it showed there were still quite a few states that like have arcane laws that allow first cousin marriage.
Right.
But Tennessee's the only one that needs to address it.
Right. Because like, people just don't do it anymore.
Right. Like some of those laws from the 1800s are like, they're weird, but like it doesn't matter because nobody cares. Like Tennessee, they're like, okay, this is getting out of hand.
Tennessee, they have like mixers with their first cousins.
We can't keep having hospitals overrun with all of these inbred issues that we're seeing. Like,
Someone's guessing on the text page that it was Jack Easterby that we gave advice to go get a job.
Oh, Barry, I'll tell you what, Jack will not take the advice of not making it about himself.
Yeah.
So curious, here's a tip, everybody. If you're somebody who purports to be in the people business and the business of helping people, but you talk to them for an hour and it's a nonstop recitation of their own accomplishments, just think twice. Okay?
Yes. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. All right, some fun stuff coming out of the draft. I don't get mad at our GM very often, but Nick, I'm a little upset that you didn't trade up to go get this guy based on his press conference over the weekend. You are going to hear some amazing audio that wasn't even really part of the press conference. You're going to hear that coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.